guys. Happy Monday out there. May 11th, 2020. Coming off a big Mother's Day. I hope all the moms out there had a Mother's Day that was worth, I'm sure it will be worth remembering, but house arrest, quarantine Mother's Day. And we'll go down in history. A lot of husbands out there saying, got away with not making reservations. I know how you guys think out there. You can't trick the old man. Anyway, you owe your wives and your moms, you owe them a dinner out. So keep that in mind. And ladies out there, make sure you keep the pressure on. And no Arby's. A buddy of mine told me, yeah, just pick up some stuff from Arby's. I get like a free glass. A free blue glass or something like that for $2. I said, are you out of your mind? You better pony up, pal, or you'll be eating at Arby's every night. Let's see what we're doing here. Another good week coming up on True Pundit. I have a good main podcast coming on Wednesday. Keep an eye out for that Wednesday morning. We call around here Big Wednesday, after one of my favorite movies. And we're doing a video podcast of this, as you know, or some folks might be new, they might not know, on patreon.com/truepundit. And that's where folks can support us as well over there. And a lot of folks are. Every little bit helps to keep the lights on. We don't have billionaire benefactors telling us what to say, what not to say, who to interview, who not to interview, what fights to pick, what not fights to pick. So we are 100% people-driven, just as real as it gets in the media these days. But, let's jump into some Monday news, try to ease our way into another week. There promises to be as turbulent as the past few weeks. You know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, there's so much stuff happening, and we've been reporting a lot of it, been ahead of it, and there could be more stuff coming this week. We're hearing a lot of rumblings about a lot of things, and we'll keep you updated on that. Updated. It's Mother's Day, and at dinner, I said, hey, Dad, you want a glass of wine? You want a beer or something? I said, no, I got to do the podcast tonight. I can't get, like, even a little bit liquored up. I'll be slurring my words. I'm already slurring my words, and I've just been drinking water all day. So there you go. I should have hit the sauce when I had the chance. Let's see where we're at. First one. Headline, U.S. death toll could be double the official figure. Expert warns as thousands avoid seeking medical help over coronavirus's fears. That's a big problem, right? People aren't going to the hospital. Adjust this volume here. The current total of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. stands at 75,000. Pardon me, I have to adjust this mic. I sound like I'm in a tin can to me, and the headsets. It's like, it's brutal. And I refuse to do this in multiple takes like some flunky. We just go, and we go. And that's what we have. When I first started doing this, I was doing like a lot of different takes and saying, oh man, I screwed that word up, man. We have to go back. Nope. We're going to try to keep it real. Current total of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. stands at 75,000 with more than 1.2 million infections, according to tracking carried out by organizations such as Johns Hopkins University. Who is taking a lot of money from the Gates Foundation, by the way? That's just my editorializing. That wasn't in the story, but everybody thinks Johns Hopkins University is some, like, has a halo, a medical halo around it, but taking a lot of money from Gates, like a lot of these other places, and it's my job to tell you that. Nobody else is going to tell you that. But health experts say such counts do not show the full devastation of the virus because they do not include deaths from conditions such as heart failure, strokes, or cancer for people who failed to get treatment, either because they were too scared to go to the hospital or else their appointment was canceled, as health departments were obliged to halt non-urgent procedures. Isn't that the big problem, folks? Make a couple quick adjustments here. Would you go to the hospital now? I got people that won't go to the hospital. So if you have like chest pains and stuff, what are you going to do? You're going to go in and then maybe run the risk of getting sicker or maybe not sick at all, or who knows what's going on with all the misinformation, right? But more importantly than that, there's a lot of people who had things scheduled like, oh, you know, you might have cancer. We need to run more tests. And then this comes along. It's like, sorry, you can't get your tests. Well, guess what? The cancer doesn't wait around. You know what I'm saying? The cancer doesn't want to hear about. States have things locked down. They don't want to hear that. It doesn't wait for people. So let's see what else to say. Mark Hayward, a sociology professor at the University of Texas at Austin, one of my favorite places, who advises the CDC on its mortality statistics, said it's very difficult to assess what he termed the full mortality burden of the disease. You just wait. You just wait. I mean, you're just going to kill more people through poverty and everything else and suicides than they haven't even accounted for that. The emotional and psychological toll. I think the undercount is enormous. The overall burden of mortality from COVID, which covers all the causes that you talked about, could be enormously higher. So by not being able to go to the hospital, being afraid to go to the hospital, it's actually probably going to end up killing more people, I would say, or a pretty large amount of people. First of all, when you look at this COVID number that they're throwing around, 75,000, the death toll, of 75,000. It's not true, because they're adding in all these extra things, like anything. Dr. Scarf even said it, the White House Dr. Scarf, Dr. Birx, even said anybody who dies now we're going to code it as COVID-19. It's like, what? What kind of a witch doctor science is this bullshit? So you see 75,000, it's not even true. You know, they're jacking it up by their own admission. So we'll save the perverts at Snopes the trouble of running down my statements. It's by their own admission. This guy suggested the figure could be double the current death toll of 75,000. Again, this is a great headline-grabbing story, but it's not because you're dying from COVID. It's because you're dying because the hospitals have shut down. So whose fault is that? Is that like our fault out here that hospitals, you know, even hospitals that were at 30% capacity, why couldn't they operate? Literally, why couldn't they literally operate? Why couldn't they conduct tests? That comes down to the CDC and HHS in D.C., I think, and states. So who's that on? It's on these feckless bureaucrats and politicians. You can bet your ass, though, if one of those fat bastards had a heart attack, they'd be whisked to Bethesda and operated on in 13 minutes and everything would be fine. But our fat asses, skinny asses out here get sick and you're on your own. It's the Lord of the Flies out in this. When you're not in the Beautiful People Club, it's Lord of the Flies. Oh, man. This guy's saying it could be double. Yeah, it could be triple. What the hell? These guys are supposed to be experts. It could be this. It could be that. It could be this. You're an expert at something. Come up with some definitive numbers. It's like embarrassing. New headline, why farmers dump food and crops while grocery stores run dry in American struggle. A large portion of our food is now produced for restaurants, hotels, schools, and institutional users, about 50%. Those markets have effectively closed up, and there is not enough demand for home use now. Said Dan Glickman, executive director of the Aspen Institute, former U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, nor is the supply chain set up for this rapid transformation. They had months to worry about this. They knew this was coming over from China. What do they think was going to happen? They're too busy selling their own stocks and buying other stocks to make money instead of worrying about you and I. We get the shaft. It's not sustainable, by the way. I'll kind of go off on a little Monday sidebar. As much as we want to pretend that this is sustainable, it's not. In other words, you can't keep getting pushed around. And if you do and you don't do anything about it, you deserve what you get. So that's what I mean. Their behavior, the way they spend money, the way they steal from you, it's not sustainable. And I'm using a slide rule of world history and U.S. history in the colonies. So I mean, that's my slide rule. Not some pie in the sky bullshit. If you're a student of history, you understand where this is going. Or maybe people don't want to really do anything about it, don't want to stand up for themselves. Then you get what you get. And that's the way it is. This move towards concentration of food processing has been a general trend for many years and has been done for efficiency and cost-cutting purposes. Don't worry, though. There's always meat that's made out of plants and made in a lab. You think you got some virus now? This is like these soy boys' dreams to stop this animal cruelty, man. We don't do this animal cruelty scene around here anymore, man. Yeah, that's interesting. Did you ever eat one of these things? It's like taking a bite out of a toilet puck or a urinal puck. Not that I would know, but I might know. It's there's been some crazy nights, and sometimes there's been some crazy wagers too. But I would say it tastes like what a urinal puck probably tastes like. That's the safest way of saying it. Four companies control about 70% of meat production. We no longer have a decentralized food production process, at least not to the extent of 30 years ago. Four companies control 70% of the meat production. And guess what? One of those companies is owned by the Chinese, Smithfield Foods. Not some Chinese Americans, right? Not some Chinese guys from America who were stunt doubles in a kung fu movie, but the Chinese. Figure that out. And they're the ones that have been closing down pork and meat and basically fucking things up left and right. So my buddy VM told me several months ago, find a local farmer, get together with some friends, and pitch in on a cow. Not a cow, a steer. Or a, cattle. So you can get your meat. And that's one way to look at it. A lot of local farmers who raise beef, grass-fed beef, will allow you to buy a portion of the steer. Of course, it's deceased at the time. But I think that's probably a legal disclaimer I have to put out there, but that's an option too. So you can get a large 50, 60, 70 pounds of meat at once, put it in the freezer, and you don't have to wait about jousting with somebody at line at the grocery store or standing in little pods 6 feet apart. Which probably has nothing to do with the virus. We'll get into that this week. And more to do with electronic tracking. And we'll get into that later too, but, right. So you have to stand 6 feet apart, right? Ooh, the government says stand 6 feet apart, but you can sit right next to some fucking slob on an airplane. Or somebody can be breathing down your neck in Walmart from 2 feet away, right? You get into some kind of a tussle over the Captain Crunch. Wait a minute, they're supposed to stay 6 feet apart. Why are you sitting 6 inches apart on an airplane or on a train? Doesn't seem to make any sense. It's because the government doesn't make any sense. They just feed you this stuff and you sit out there, oh, yeah, let's stay 6 feet apart. I'm worried about it. I have to wear a mask and stay 6 feet apart. People on an airplane wearing a mask fucking kills me. You're on a germ tube, you geniuses. The mask isn't going to help. If there's some kind of a problem on there, you're going to get it one way or the other. Oh, man, people need to stop and start thinking for themselves, you know. My rule of thumb is very basic, very basic. Anytime the government tells you something is good for you, run. Run like the fucking wind away from whoever told you that and whatever they're telling you to do. Do the opposite, a total opposite. These people, like, it's 1 a.m. and I still get texts. It's nonstop. Think like I'm Superman or something. Then you don't answer. I'm like, where were you, man? We tried to reach you. You had all day to reach me. 1 a.m.? I'm not a bartender. Just think about that. Four companies control 70% of the meat production. That's even more frightening than the four or five companies that control the entire media conglomerate, or six companies, whatever it is, in the United States. Why do you think they want to piss on little guys like me who start to get traction? Because it's like, wait a minute, he doesn't have a billionaire sponsor. Who's this guy think he is? And his people are listening to him. Who do they think they are? This guy's not allowed to have his own channel, his own thing. Guys like that are dangerous. Yet people keep coming. If you build it, they will come. It's true. If you tell the truth, that happens. The extent of produce waste and revenue alone is stunning. The United Fresh Produce Association, according to Politico, predicts its members are losing up to $1 billion per week. Yeah, I've read that in other places too. I can feel comfortable with that. And I've heard a lot of people, farmers, saying this too. Before the pandemic, U.S. consumers purchased about a third of their calories and spent over half of their food dollars on food consumed outside of their home. Restaurants, fast food, schools, work cafeterias, etc. The closure of these outlets and stay-at-home orders have radically changed where most Americans buy and consume their food. And who suffers from that is a supply chain, because they're the last link in this chain and they have to respond. So, you know, you're slow to respond when you're last in line. That's kind of, that's the flavor we're getting here. The farmers who are dumping milk and plowing under produce have lost customers and markets that buy products in bulk. Moreover, a large fraction of U.S. milk is used to produce mozzarella cheese, most of which is used in pizza, sold through retail chain outlets, and stay-at-home orders have significantly reduced the volume of demand for pizza cheese. Yeah, when's the last time you ordered a pizza? We ordered pizza, brought pizza home a couple weeks ago. We hadn't ordered out. I tweeted about it, right? Brought it in the house, put it on the table. My wife said, wipe those boxes off. I said, over my dead body. Take the slice of pizza and be happy you have some food to eat. Wipe the boxes off. How dare you? Where do you think I went with this pizza? We've lost our minds as a society. Wipe the pizza box down? First of all, I save all my pizza boxes because, not because I'm Howard Hughes, and I also urinate in a bottle. But when the nieces and nephews come over, we have pizza box karate. And I hold the box, and they give some chops and some kicks, some snap kicks. It's real great until somebody throws some casualties and I get yelled at. But they're always like, come on, Uncle Mike, let's have pizza box karate. Yay! I wish we could do a pizza box karate with some of the people in Congress. Here, hold this box up by your head. Oh, I'm sorry. My aim is really bad. You gave that guy a concussion. He fell down all these fancy marble stairs. Son of a bitch. You know, pizza box karate, it's not for everybody. The stark images of on social media of dumped potato mountains and fresh milk gushing into the earth has been especially haunting, given that food banks, according to the Feeding America, have experienced a 70% uptick in demand since the virus took hold and millions lost their livelihoods. Have you seen the images of people waiting in line on their cars to get a couple bags from the food bank? Have you seen this? Have you seen it? You wonder, hey, what country are we in? And the same people in those cars are thinking, well, we just get in line, wait in line several hours a day. It'll all clear up. What if it doesn't? It doesn't look like it's going to, so. Did you vote for this? I didn't vote for this. Nobody voted for this. Nobody in their right mind would vote for this. My feeling on the street is that, like, the grace period, the honeymoon is over. Now we're getting into people who are going to start getting serious about the situation and assessing their personal situation and say, hey, you've had time to fix this and you fucked up down there. Nobody's getting any money. Nothing's open. And you're going to have problems. And you created these problems. That's my feeling on the street. Now, when you read the media, it's like, oh, well, it's not so bad. It's bad and it's getting worse. And don't listen to what you read in the media. They're all full of shit on both sides. They're worried about the election. Are we going to make it to the fucking election? Mail-in election? I don't know one single person in my circle that's worried about how they're going to vote, as opposed to how they're going to get money and food back on their table and pay their bills. Election? The election might as well be in 2030. That's where the president's head should be. Not worrying about getting reelected. Worry about solving the massive problems we have where he's I'll tell you, I think it's going to be a particularly nasty summer out in the streets, but we'll see. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think I am, but I hope I am for the sake of the nation. But unless something's done to really help people out here and not just the rich people, the rich people are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer and middle class, upper middle class are toast. They've gone back down to lower middle class. And what takes 15, 20 years to achieve has been erased in a matter of weeks. You guys out there with two homes are freaking out. Rental property, yeah, use one as a rental property. Thought that, hey, we could rent this out and then, you know, when we retire, maybe we can live down the beach and it'll be paid off. Wrong. Now you got two mortgages you can't pay. Like that, lickety split. Plus, who's going to rent your property? You think people are going on Airbnb right now? And Vrbo? Nope. There's no money. So, if you're upper middle class, you were upper middle class until a few weeks ago. This is like a reality check. That's where the focus should be, not on who's going to get reelected. November might as well literally be years away from now at the rate we're going. I'm not worried about the election. I'm worried about basic things for my family and the people I love and care about. This is where DC is just lost, man. On both sides, they're lost. They have no idea what's happening out here. I've said for a long time, the street doesn't forget, and you can read into that what it means. Hopefully, we don't find out this summer, but it's not looking good. It's like a perfect storm coming our way. Yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. We know that's bad on the meat front, right? So let me see what else we got here. Narrative fail is the headline. 15 days after lockdown ease, Georgia sees lowest day of COVID hospitalizations. Yeah, but we can't let people go back. There's going to be a second wave. It's going to be a second wave, all right. Bankruptcies and everything else. Republican Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia celebrated the state's lowest number of hospitalized novel coronavirus. I don't like the novel coronavirus. What is this? Novel. Just call it the fucking coronavirus. It's just a pet peeve. And the fewest number of COVID-19 patients on ventilators on Saturday, 15 days since the Republican loosened lockdown restrictions in the face of persistent attacks from the mainstream media. Yeah, the communists in the mainstream media don't want the country to get away from communism, because now it's basically full-fledged communist country. The way the economy is, and people are getting checks and getting bailed out. This is communism light. And my former colleagues in the mainstream media, many of them who were crazed, insane communists, they don't want it to go back to a capitalistic society or a model. They want to keep they've waited for this their whole lives, right? These little Fidel Castros running around the newsroom. This is big for them. So they're going to hassle anybody who tries to go back. Today marks the lowest number of COVID-19 patients currently hospitalized statewide, 1,200. Since hospitals began reporting the data on April 18th, Kemp posted on Twitter on Saturday. Today also marks the lowest total number of ventilators. We will win this fight together. Not much of a choice. Well, there might be more than one fight before it's over. According to daunting CNN headline published April 28th, quote, Georgia's daily coronavirus deaths will nearly double by August with relaxed social distancing, model suggests. What model was that? The model that fucking Poindexter used over in Britain? This pipe stemmer? This breadstick who weighs 150 pounds? Right? Who probably got his ass whooped every day in school? Came up with this model? 2 million people are going to die? Buddy, there's a reason you and your friends get stuffed in a fucking locker. What's that guy doing now? Oh, I made a mistake. Yeah, you made a mistake, pal. You made a mistake. You better find the Unabomber's fucking cabin and hide out there for about a decade. Of course, the Unabomber's cabin was confiscated by the FBI, these geniuses, and I think it's in the FBI museum. Yes, there's a museum. They've given themselves a museum. And you can go there to see the Unabomber's cabin. It only took them 20 years to catch this fucking guy. Great job. You don't see the TV movie on that, though, right? They wrap it up in, like, the TV show. We caught him in an hour. Oh, okay, right. You couldn't catch. His brother ratted him out. That's the only way they caught him. Best in the world, my ass. Headline, new Russia transcripts appear to show Schiff Obama officials knew Trump was colluding with Russia. Former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, I always get that wrong. Quote, I never saw any direct empirical evidence that Trump campaign or anyone in it was plotting, conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election, unquote. Former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, quote, I'm not in possession of anything. I'm not in possession and didn't read or absorb information that came out of the intelligence community, unquote. Former national security advisor and perennial liar, Susan Rice, quote, I don't recall any intelligence or evidence to that effect, unquote. Former Attorney General Loretta Tarmac Lynch, I can't say it exists or not, because you can't say anything, right? They teach you that in law school. You always say when you testify, I don't recall. Would you like me to surmise, or would you like me to take a guess? That's the big thing. I don't recall. I don't recall. Yeah, sure. Former Deputy National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes. What a lightweight. Put a fucking hat on this guy. He should be serving ice cream somewhere. I'm not even going to read what he said. He's a nobody and a liar. Despite the testimonies contained in 53 transcripts, Schiff repeatedly promoted the now debunked claim that the Trump campaign had colluded with the Russians during the 2016 election and went as far as to say that he had direct evidence that it happened. Yeah, sure. You read the story on True Pundit where the Larry Nichols, the Clinton whistleblower and the Clinton bagman and Clinton insider said, take a drink. Said Schiff likes to Freudian slip, I guess. He likes to dress up in like Egyptian clothes at parties, like he thinks he's King Tut or something. These weirdos. It's worth looking at. Nichols knows what's going on. He has some good hooks. He was at Ed Buck's house dozens of times. The guy who was arrested for running a meth house and killing people. Yeah. So let's not be surprised that Schiff is a liar in addition to hanging out with a meth head and dressed as fucking Cleopatra at a party. Put some pants on, Cleopatra. You're a goddamn congressman. Clapper, who had testified that he had no evidence of collusion, said 2 years later, when he was a paid CNN contributor, what was the Trump campaign doing the same time was essentially aiding and abetting the Russians. Yeah, well, he's on the payroll, so he has to bullshit. He has to earn his pay over there at CNN. Why aren't these guys in jail? I'm tired of reading about these guys. I said it over the weekend. I'm tired of reading about them. I'm tired of writing about them. Put some of these fucking guys in jail. Jesus Christ. Oh, they'll only go after little people. You know that. Because they don't want to go after anybody who has information on them, too. Mutually assured destruction down there. You go after me, I'll ruin you. Oh, okay. You get a free pass, too. Everybody gets a free pass. You have Oprah running DOJ down there. You get a no bill. You get a no bill. You get a no bill. States build contact tracing armies to crush coronavirus. Here you go. California is already conducting contact tracing in 22 counties, and it eventually plans to field a force of 10,000 state employees who will give basic training by the University of California health experts. These are people that are going to be milling around, following you around, making sure that you know, I mean, it's really crazy. No wonder people aren't going to the fucking hospital. Then they don't want 10,000 maniacs, no pun intended, with the rock band. They don't want 10,000 maniacs following them around who weren't bright enough to get a job somewhere else other than the state. These people are dangerous. You ever see The Walking Dead? These guys make The Walking Dead look like the dance scene from Footloose. Massachusetts and Ohio have partnered with Partners in Health, a global health nonprofit originally established to support programs in Haiti, to field teams of contact tracers. Maryland will partner with the University of Chicago, formerly the National Opinion Research Center, to quadruple its contact tracing capacity. Maryland, what a shithole. Washington, West Virginia, Iowa, North Dakota, and Rhode Island are using their National Guards to trace contacts of those who have been infected with the coronavirus. In Kansas, 400 people have volunteered to trace contacts. In Utah, 1,200 state employees have raised their hands. The Rat Squad. Yeah. That'll be like, I have a large part in what's going on. It'll be the rats versus the non-rats. And there's a lot of rats out there. People who you think weren't maybe rats, friends of yours, they might be rats. They might be the guys behind the scenes calling up when you say, hey, fuck these guys, man. I'm not going to listen to them. I'm going to do what I want. And then they go home. Yeah, man. I'm with you, man. Fuck these guys, man. I can't let them push you around. Then they go home and they're on the computer.
This guy I know is really, he's talking bad against the state, man. You got to check him out. His name's Mike, and I've known him for 30 years, and he has no idea that I'm ratting him out. But he seems dangerous, and I want to make sure nobody gets hurt or sick, because I'm a robot.
Senator Elizabeth Warren and Representative Andy Levin from Michigan have proposed adding a massive nationwide federal contact tracing program. Yay, the feds have to get in, spend more money. Don't we already have a national contact tracing program? I think it's called the National Security Agency. They pretty much trace every goddamn thing we do. So, you know. They want to add this to hire more robots, more Walking Dead, to the next round of coronavirus-related relief funding. In a nod to the New Deal-style scale such a program would require, they call the program the Coronavirus Containment Corps. Core. I thought it said COPS. Just take the R out. Yeah. Coronavirus Containment COPS. There's no core. Take the R out. I think they probably spelled COPS wrong, and they spelled it as core. Just take the R out. Establishing a nationwide contact tracing program is the only way we can truly know the progress we've made in containing the virus and how far we have left to go before we can transition back to normal life, Levin said in a statement. These people are insane and dangerous. We're all endangered by these people. All of them. They're scary people. You break it all down. Let me break it all down for you. I see this as, remember after 9/11, they're like, oh, you need to get your junk and your breasts and your ass and everything felt up at the airport for your own security. You know, some of my friends would act suspicious in line. So they get, you know, go through twice if they found some hot TSA chick. But remember this, it was for your own security. You got to take your shoes off. Well, that makes a lot of fucking sense. But we need to harass your kids because terrorists always travel with their children. We know this. Never happened once. And it was just like, yeah, whatever. I got to get on this plane. I got places to go. I want to go make some money. I want to go cut some deals. So it's okay if you feel me up. It's okay if I walk through a radar, X-ray machine. You know what I mean? And it's like, wait a minute. Why are we putting up with this? But we do. And we did. Take your belt off. So you don't choke somebody out. That's what I'm thinking. That's why you got to take the belt off. It doesn't save anybody's life. It hasn't saved anybody's life. It's complete farce. It's security theater. It has no meaning. It's like a high school play. It doesn't save anybody. It hasn't saved anybody and hasn't made anybody any safer. All it's been is an inconvenience and another slash and burning of your civil rights. Not to have your junk felt up. not to be, you know, treated like a bad prom date. You know what I'm saying? It's a thrashing of the Constitution for your quote unquote safety. This is the same thing, but they've taken it to a national level where they can just, you know, kick your door in if little Susie has a fever and they want to check up on her. And then they can yank little Susie out of your house. That's going to be coming out too. They're trying to do that on a federal level. We'll get to that later in the week. Trying to pass a bill where they can say, oh, well, we need to check on Susie because she was in the hospital. Or, you know, we need to check on Mike. He was sick a few weeks ago, and we want to come in and take his temperature. Are you going to let them do that? Or what? I mean, you let them fill you up at the airport, treat you like a piece of cattle. You travel through your little corrals like livestock at the airport, so they're thinking, these people are fucking cattle. They're livestock. We'll treat them like the same way at home. What are they going to do about it? They're pussies. They're soft. This is what they're doing. They've taken the TSA model, and they're expanding it. Right? They're expanding it. And they're going to have all these goons going around. The same people, the same underqualified idiots they have working for TSA, and the blue shirts are now coming to your house, okay? And they're going to be following you around. Mostly because you let them after 9/11, and you showed the government that you're soft. And when these guys see an inch of daylight, they take it. Do you ever hear that saying? I give you an inch, you take a foot. I give you a foot, you take a mile. That's the government. If you just sit there and take it, you get what you deserve. Won't happen in my house. Don't fucking come here. Don't come back here. Don't even think about it. Don't try me. Let's see. Okay, new headline. We sent them samples of a goat, a papaya, and a pheasant. Tanzanian president catches World Health Organization in an epic lie. Now, this sounds good. A goat, a papaya, and a pheasant walk into a bar. Tanzanian president John Magufuli was growing suspicious of the organization, World Health Organization. So he reportedly decided to investigate whether the organization was as trustworthy and reliable as it claimed to be. He played what the local press described as a trick on the organization. Getting some feedback. These cell phones are on. Played a trick on the organization. He sent the World Health Organization samples of a goat, a papaya, and a quail for testing. All three samples reportedly tested positive. When the president heard the news, he reportedly confronted the WHO, not the band, but these dopes that are run by that warlord. Then he kicked the organization out of the country. Bravo. Big goings on in Tanzania. What happened here? Yeah. These guys are dopes. Right? Dopes. They're frauds. The World Health Organization is a massive fraud. They're a front for the Chinese and other people. A front for the Clintons. A front for the Gates. They've laundered billions of dollars for different people. Two different people. It'll make your head spin. It's like, the feds know about it. The IRS knows about it. The FBI knows about it. Nobody's done a damn thing about it. They're all involved. So too many beautiful people involved. So they won't do anything about it. It's corrupt. The Department of Justice is more corrupt than the World Health Organization. Believe me. New headline, China. Where are we at? 44 minutes. Need a drink. China asked World Health Organization to delay pandemic announcement and also deny human-to-human transmission. This is according to German intelligence. German intelligence has revealed that this is what I'm talking about. These guys are just so bad. And they get away with it. German intelligence has revealed Chinese President Xi Jinping Wing Ding fucking Ging asked World Health Organization Director General Tedros Adhanom blah, 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 warlord to cover up the severity of the coronavirus pandemic in January, according to Der Spiegel. During a January 21st conversation, 1 week after the WHO assured the world there was no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission, Jinping reportedly asked Tedros not to reveal that the virus was in fact transmittable between humans and to delay declaring the coronavirus had become a pandemic, despite the virus qualifying as one by the WHO's own former guidelines. What's that song the WHO has? We won't get fooled again. Okay. Don't get fooled again. And while the WHO announced on the 22nd that data collected through their own investigation suggests that human-to-human transmission is taking place in Wuhan, which they said more analysis was required to understand the full extent, they waited all the way until March 11th to declare the virus a pandemic. Corruption. See, this is what happens when you allow corruption to fester and to foster. That's why I always say, these little pricks, you got to take them out early. You got to put them in jail early. Like the Clintons, they should have been put in jail long before they got to the White House, but no. And then they fester. These cartels that they run get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they actually... And people say, that doesn't affect me. Eh, fuck it, doesn't affect me. Doesn't it? Affects you now. Affects you now. On January 10th, with Wuhan gripped by the outbreak, the WHO said that it did not recommend any specific health measures for travelers to and from Wuhan, adding that entry screening offers little benefit. It also advised against the application of any travel or trade restrictions on China. Why is there a World Health Organization? Oh, yeah, it's not about health. It is about an organization, a criminal organization. Even after China's most famous pulmonologist, Zhong Nanshan, confirmed human-to-human transmission on January 20th, the WHO continued to undermine effective responses by downplaying the risks of asymptomatic transmission and discouraging widespread testing. I took a course in college called International Law, isn't there? International lawyers where you could go after these people, like the World Health Organization? Nah, it's probably not. That only has to do if you like, you know. That only has to do with the liberal lawyers never sue other liberals. You know, they only sue on the other side because they don't want to lose their social cash in the cocktail circuit and everything else. Right? It's all set up. It's all fucking rigged. Meanwhile, China was hoarding personal protective equipment, scaling back exports of Chinese-made PPE and other medical gear and importing the rest of the world's supply. In the final weeks of January, the country imported 56 million respirators and masks, according to official data. Worse than that, Pompeo sent these people pallets of PPE from the U.S. Can you believe it? Pallets. Oh, and then he like, you know, had put press releases out. We care about our friends in Wuhan. We're sending over PPE to help these people. They had to be fucking laughing in China to get these plane loads of PPE from the U.S. thinking, you dumbasses are going to need this in a couple weeks. And here, thanks a lot, Pompeo and the State Department. We're going to put this over here in a warehouse, and we get to sell it back to you in a month at double the cost, and you gave it to us. And then they complained about a PPE shortage in the U.S. Yeah, maybe because you gave it away for free. A number of them. I mean, not everything, but still, they give a considerable amount to China for free as, you know, try to do some kind of a public relations blitz as we care. We care about people around the world. I'm thinking, why are you can't even. It almost makes you think all this stuff's done on purpose. Nobody can be this feckless and this stupid on a chronic basis like these politicians are. So what is really going on here? That's the big question we're trying to answer on a regular basis. It's no secret that China engaged in a massive cover-up as the Wuhan coronavirus spiraled out of control. At the same time, Chinese government allowed tens of thousands of people to travel for the Chinese Lunar New Year. As the situation continues to evolve and the narratives are shaped, take a close look and remember who's defending who. Yeah, no pun intended. Who's defending the who? The World Health Organization. I mean, come on, man. We're being duped at every turn here, even in our own country, by our own government. It's sad, and the state governments, forget about it. They're in the tank. Whoever's working the puppet strings on guys like Cuomo, Murphy, and Teen Wolf Tom, Wolf in Pennsylvania and other places, and in California, there's a puppet master behind these guys. They're not bright enough to come up with these dumb schemes themselves. They're taking orders from somebody, and it's disturbing where we're headed. So, but we're there together. We can get there, and I can try to shed some light on this as we travel along this journey of insanity on a daily basis. And I'll be back tomorrow with another pain in the morning on Tuesday morning and getting geared up for a main Wednesday podcast. We'll also do pain in the morning on Wednesday. You know, these are growing, so that's good. The word's getting out to more people. And, like an honest spin on the news and kind of a wise-ass spin on the news, but not at the cost of being right and giving perspective. I've been a long time and a lot of different rackets give me different perspective, able to slice through bullshit pretty easily. So shout out to the folks out there on patreon.com/truthpundit where we're doing a video podcast of this, and for our supporters out there, they really seem to like it. That goes along with like a chat about stuff that progresses and sometimes heats up during the day. And a lot of good information is exchanged on there. Plus the More Pain show we do on there as well for subscribers only. And I appreciate that. We appreciate that. Be back on Tuesday. Take care. God bless. Hang in there. Stay strong.